you are listening to Sci-Fi Dig. I am your host, Aaron Makem, and I wanted to talk about a couple of things this week. Naturally, I have a box set I want to talk about, and eventually I will run out of box sets to talk about, and then I don't know what I'll talk about then. We'll see. But I was looking at over my collection. I was just trying to find things that not just every single, I mean, obviously I can review every box set, but stuff that I find interesting or out of the ordinary to view. And I was thinking about just collecting physical media in general, and the fact that, you know, you get all these, as I'm looking over my collection, I come across sets that I haven't even opened yet. And how does this happen, right? How does somebody go out and spend money on something and then not watch it? Well, I would say that all the sets that I have not opened yet, I bought during a sale. And usually it's around, you know, Black Friday, this time of year. That's usually in November. November and up to like the second or third week of December, there's a lot of DVDs on sale. And it used to be the loss leader to get you into the store because everybody, you know, enjoys entertainment, you know. And so you'd be able to find all these great deals on discs. And what would happen is, if, you know, if a box set was normally like $60 or $70 and suddenly it dropped down to $15, well, I would buy it if it was something I wanted to watch and just haven't had the time to watch it. You know, obviously, my collection grows not like it used to, but I obviously have probably more DVDs than I can probably watch in a year, you know. And now it's interesting to me because now that I have no other source of TV. I have the over-the-air antenna, but I don't have any of the pay stations or any. I don't pay for TV, and it's kind of funny because people are like, "Have you seen this? Have you seen?" I'm like, "No, I haven't." But I'll end up buying it on DVD, or I'll end up renting it or streaming it. And one of the things that that has occurred to me that I thought was kind of funny is those of you that are sci-fi fans. Star Trek Discovery was a CBS All Access original. It streamed over there. It's still streaming over their paid app. And, you know, the Blu-rays are going to come out. And I always thought, well, I'll probably pick up the Blu-rays because I'd like to be able to go back and watch it all again and watch it. You know, I mean, the thing is, you know, like I said this a million times, trying to, I guess, defend my position of physical media. I don't need the internet to watch it. All I need is electricity. And I don't know. I mean, maybe everybody. I mean, we figure out how much of the world and how much the United States has high speed internet, which is very, you know, in the States it's very low. You know, like last night I was trying to watch something on the CW app, and every 5 minutes it would just shut down because my son was playing a game. And because, you know, anytime you have to upload data, it destroys your download. And my upload here is really low. So what I ended up doing was I'm lucky, and it's funny because in the corner of the bedroom, I can actually pick up LTE on my phone. So I just watched it on my phone, turned everything else off, and then was able to watch it that way. But if I have physical media, I just put it in. I don't have to worry about any hiccups. There's no like 5-10 minutes of setup trying to get things to work. It's just you put it in and push play. I mean, it's not complicated. But I realized, you know, one of the true signs that we are shifting away from physical media, not going to be permanent, but obviously a clear drop, is when I was looking at the Star Trek Discovery Blu-rays, and I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't mind getting these. And then I realized they're on iTunes. And I just thought that was kind of funny that another streaming service is offering their content on a competitor. You know, now granted, iTunes is a little bit different because you're buying stuff by episode and being able to download it as opposed to paying an all-you-can-eat kind of monthly fee. But I just thought it was just kind of a little observation I thought was kind of funny. Anyway, I talked about Millennium on the show, and I was trying to find the entire season because I'm not going to pay an outrageous sum of money for the U.S. discs because they're kind of high right now, and I'm assuming they're going out of print because almost impossible to find. And I know that some of the seasons are available, but it's like that uneven thing. Like season one, you know, might be, you know, $15. And season two is like $70. And then like season three is like $35. You know how sometimes the seasons are just kind of weird the way that they're priced. But my friend and friend of the show, Jeffrey DiRigo, sent me season one as a Christmas gift, which I thought was really nice. And I'm really pumped to be able to sit down and watch that again. And it got me thinking about, you know, how connections you make with people and about where, you know, things that happen that you wouldn't think that, you know, you wouldn't think would happen. You know, an example, I'm not explaining myself very well, so I'm going to give you the example that made me think of this. I cannot remember exactly how I met Jeff. I know that he was doing the Union Dew story for Escape Pod. I listened to a couple of them, and I probably reached out and asked him if he wanted to do, you know, wanted to be on the show and talk about that. And I do remember the couple times he'd been. The first time was like an official, hey, you know, you're an author and let's do this. And then I remember that show, and I think we declined into a bunch of silliness. And I remember a show where we talked about bad movies. And, you know, we would talk about Star Trek as well, and he would be like rattling off the names of all the planets, which used to freak me out because I'm a big Trek fan, but I can't name the planets. And it got me to thinking, like, here's a guy that, you know, likes science fiction and likes that sort of thing. And one of the books that he wrote that has grabbed me and I'll never forget, it's kind of imprinted on my brain, is he did a book called Fleas. And the book is about, I just want to set it up as simple as possible without giving anything away. But, I can't remember if this is the way he described it to me, but I remember as he finished the chapters, he was emailing to me and I could not get enough. And then finally the book was complete and he sent me a very nice note and a copy of the book. And, it sits on my shelf. You know, I don't have a lot of physical books anymore, but that one stays. And the idea of this is that, you know, And I get it, and I laugh at it because I've been to many, many, many flea markets in my life, and there's always that guy there that has like these replica knives of like from movies and television, like these famous replica knives that are like, you know, $30 or $40. Now the knives clearly are junk. I mean, they're not. It's not. You're not gonna do what they're there to look at. You're not gonna be like, man, I'm gonna take this and I'm gonna go get in a knife fight. And no, you're not gonna do anything because it's junk. But it is. You know, this is how people make a living. They sell these knives, right? And if you've never been to a flea market or been to multiple flea markets and see how everything's kind of laid out, maybe you won't quite get the humor of that situation. But the book goes on about like what goes on in a flea market, and there's a story. There's another story in there altogether. But I don't want to talk about that because I want you to go pick up the book. I believe it's available on Amazon, and I believe that it's available in the Kindle store. Although I haven't checked that, but I think Jeff told me it was available on there. But my point being was that the book is not really sci-fi related, other than the connection to the knife seller who's selling these replica knives. And it's funny because here's something that started out over here in science fiction that grabbed my interest because that's what the podcast is about. And that is like one of my main hobbies and been a big influence in my life. And then we've gone over this book that has nothing to do with that and has just kind of grabbed me. And it's just one of those things that just kind of sticks in my mind is like really, actually, it's the kind of book that has that kind of like, it's not a funny book, but it is. A look at these people's lives that's kind of humorous in some ways, humorous to me, because I could never do that. You know, I could never live my life like that. But it's just kind of like it's not tongue-in-cheek either. It's just kind of like you're looking at it and there's things that happen that are kind of humorous in their life. And there's this whole flea market hierarchy and stuff like that. And stuff like that's kind of funny to me because when you look at it, it's kind of peculiar funny. And every time I've read the email one and then I read the actual book, I keep thinking, I gotta send a copy of this to my dad. I don't know if he'd like it or not, but I think that this is something that he could kind of get behind and kind of get the funny side of it, you know, the peculiar funny side of it. But it occurred to me that here's somebody that, you know, we connected over sci-fi and then ended up, you know, the one thing that he did that wasn't related to the thing that everybody knows him for is the thing that I really ended up loving, you know. Anyway, that was a really weird stream of consciousness in there, but I don't know. You know, if you listen to this show long enough, you know that that just happens, okay? I just start prattling on and it goes nowhere fast. Anyway, Jeff, thank you very much for the Millennium of Season 1, and I'm going to attempt to watch that before February, if I can. We're getting ready to go on vacation here in a little while, so I'll be gone for 2 weeks. It's the longest vacation I've ever had, And so I'm kind of excited about that because I need to get away from my job before I start killing people. There are several series in the pantheon of science fiction television series that all have a kind of a common theme and all have, I would like to say, a pretty big following. Now, maybe not a big following in this country, but a big following nonetheless. And, you know, of course, we have Star Trek, you know, ship in space, crew, discovering things, you know, kind of like a militarized kind of deal going on. And then we have Space 1999, which I still have not seen all of. You know, a lot of similar elements, okay? Similar elements, and there's a ship and there's a crew, and, you know, they're kind of working together toward a common goal. And then we have Blake 7, also very similar. You know, obviously it starts out with, you know, there's some of them are criminals, from the government, and, you know, they have a ship and et cetera, et cetera. Now, it was probably 10, 12 years ago that I first even heard about Blake 7. Like, I didn't even know this thing. I didn't even know it was a thing. And again, one of the many rewards of podcasting and the internet is finding these shows and being like, holy cow, I didn't even know this. And the same thing with Space 1999. Like, I knew of it, but I had never seen it. Like, I've seen the ship, you know, and I've seen the characters. Like, I've seen stills of them, and I knew it was a show, but it was not available to me in any way, shape, or form. And the same thing was to be said for Blake 7. There was not an American version of this when I discovered it, and I wanted to see it. And at the time, I remember that I was like kind of fascinated. I was like, okay, what's this all about? I mean, Terry Nation does it, you know, very well known. He's written a lot of science fiction television. And I'm like, what is this all about? You know, what's the deal here? And so I had speculated about it on a podcast, talked a little bit about, I didn't know what it was, but I was kind of interested in it. And somebody was nice enough to give me some pretty rough digital files of the first season. And I started to watch it. And, you know, it's funny. We put these artificial barriers in the way. You know, we have regions on our DVDs. We have regions on our Blu-rays. You know, we have PAL and NTSC I don't know exactly what the point of that is. I mean, I guess I understand it to a certain degree, but, you know, I have a region-free DVD player. I set it, you have a DVD player, you can set it for region-free. If you don't know how, just Google it. And the Blu-ray player is a little bit different because they have to be chipped. But if you're going to buy a new Blu-ray player, I would just spend the extra $10 or $15 and find one online and just buy it that way, because that way you can watch whatever you want and you're not restricted by that. I'm not sure about the legality of that. I mean, I don't really see the problem. For me, I like it because there's things that aren't available here from other countries that I can watch. As is now, if you're looking for box sets of certain things, I always recommend like Amazon UK. Granted, the thing is like most of their stuff's region free and it's box sets, so it doesn't really matter what kind of Blu-ray player you have. But a lot of times you can save a substantial sum of money. I think I ended up buying the Aliens box set there. I think here it was like $70. I think I ended up paying $20. And Planet of the Apes, when it came out, when it first hit Blu-ray, I think I ended up paying $25 for it. And I think here it was like $90. So, you know, you can shop around. But Blake 7 was something that was always kind of elusive. It was hard to find a set. It was hard to find in the U.S. And I kind of got it under my skin, and I was like, I want to go back and review this or see what's going on. I want to start from the beginning. I only made it like partway through season one, and then something came up. And it's because as much as I enjoy it, sometimes it can get a little tedious. And part of that is because of the cultural difference. I honestly believe that. I mean, I think that when we watch UK TV and the fact that in a lot of UK TV, they dance around the problem because it's like they're afraid to upset somebody. It's just weird where, you know, I feel as though our culture were very direct about things. And sometimes it can make watching television where all those things are kind of pumped up and enhanced to try to stretch it out a little bit. Sometimes it can just wear on your nerves after a while. And you're like, oh my God, it's like, you know, it's the equivalent is watching like an episode of Smallville. Let's use that as an example. You know, via these episodes of Smallville where, you know, Clark was in love with Lana and Lana had feelings for him. And the whole episode had like 3 minutes of content and 40 minutes of them saying, oh, I love him, but I can't tell him. And him saying, oh, I love her, but I can't tell her. And you're just like, oh, my God. I believe seasons 3 through 7 of Smallville, I watched at 3x speed on my DVR. And anytime some action happened, I stopped and watched that action. I'd be kill an episode of Smallville in about 10 minutes. And for some reason, I want to go back and watch it. I don't know why, but there's interesting aspects to it, I guess. But anyway, so Blake 7 was one of the things that I wanted to go back and see if I could find a copy of it somewhere. And I wanted to get a legit copy. I try to, I mean, if there's something that I can get on disc, I avoid, I mean, I know that sometimes to make you jump through so many hoops, it's just easier to find a torrent somewhere and pirate it. And I'm not, you know, do what you got to do. I'm not saying yay or nay. I'm just saying that, you know, these people should just learn to just put it out there. But so I looked around and there was a German set that's actually good for my region and is in English and everything. It has English subtitles and all that stuff. And the set is pretty massive. It is, I want to say it's about four DVDs, regular DVD boxes thick. And it has one of those huge plastic cases. It's funny because nowadays we just want the best quality and the most concise set size that you can get. And it's funny because if you look back at some of the older sets, it's like they kind of brag about how many discs there are. And at the time, it was like, look how much what you're getting for your money, the physical thing you're getting for your money. And now we just want it to be as concise as possible. As far as size is concerned, I want as many extras as possible. But of course, you know, the more discs, the better, usually the better compression you're going to get. It's going to look better. But it's on 17 DVDs. It comes in a cardboard case that has a huge plastic case. I mean, it's like I said, it's about four DVDs high, but it's only one case that you open up and they're on plastic flip pages, you know. So it's packaged very nicely. It's kind of, you can hear it. They kind of rattle around there, but none of them came loose. The thing shipped from, I believe that I got this on Amazon UK probably. It shipped from there. Obviously, the synopsis on the back is in German. But on the front, there's like quotes from different review places talking about it. Now, if you've never seen Blake 7, I recommend it. I mean, it's like I said, some of it can be a bit of a grind. But I like the characters and I like the ship well enough. And I always wanted to go back and do a proper review, but I've never seen the entire series. And I also know there's some cast changes later on. They have a character that everybody compares to, like, Spock, but he's human. He's just kind of he's the character that I kind of like the most because he's kind of like, well, we need to go from here to here, so we're going to take a straight line. Everybody's like, we got to go from here to here, so we're going to go over here. We're going to make a left, then we're going to do a circle, figure eight, go to a U-turn, come back over here, go over there, come back over here, go to that place, do a square, do a triangle, make a pentagram, buy a loaf of bread, stick a butter and a quart of milk, and then we're going to go. And it's like, no. That's ridiculous, and that's part of my problem with parts of the show. And again, I don't necessarily think that that's bad writing. I just think that's a cultural thing. But when it comes to a show that has that fan base and has had a lasting effect, I think Blake 7 is one of those. I know that over here it's not as well known, but like I said, I think those top three shows have a lot in common. Or those top, not top three shows, but those top. Oh, my God. Those three shows, Jesus, Star Trek, Blake 7, and Space 1999 have a lot in common in the fact that they have a following and they have multiple seasons and they have some common elements. And they have that the one thing that they all have is the exploration nature of it that makes it interesting. And the fact that you have a story, but a lot of what makes the show work is the chemistry between the characters. Or lack thereof, you know, the fact that they have to work together and they get on each other's nerves and the dynamic of them working together. And that's kind of, I like that in a show. It seems to me that there's too many shows now where the dynamic of characters is like two characters are in love or there's some sort of romance going on. And this is kind of different. You know, these shows are different because they are on a somewhat professional level and having to work together. And I think it's very interesting. So Blake 7 is something that I would recommend watching. I do believe that this is available now on some streaming services as a pay-as-you-go kind of thing. The only problem is with, I believe it's four series, is by the time you add those up, it becomes quite expensive. Now, you know, if you watched one a week and you bought one a week, well, then obviously, you know, you get your money's worth because they're, you know, a couple, $3. But if you wanted to buy an entire season, you know, it can start to add up pretty quick. But it all depends on how you want to consume your media. Like I said, like I like physical media, but I'm not, by no means am I against streaming. I have plenty of streaming services that I use as well. But it's just hard to find some of these things. And even now, you know, and I've talked about this in the past, like, you know, we had very little access to all these different science fiction shows way back when. So we loved everything that was available, but there was very little. Now there's so much available. When you come across something you can't find, it's kind of odd, you know. And that's pretty much the science fiction part of this show. I want to talk about something else on a personal level that I've had a little bit of feedback over the last couple of years about this sort of thing. And I wanted to bring it because now we're at the end of the year, which means we're going to, you know, we're end of the year, beginning of the new year, and that's when everybody's resolutions come in, right? And everybody's resolution is, I'm going to lose weight this year. You know, I'm going to be healthier, but I'm going to lose weight. And so those of you that have known me and listen to the show, and if you listen to the show, then you pretty much know me because I don't really hide a whole lot. I used to be a very large man, and, you know, I tried to do what I could to make that so I didn't want to die I don't want to die until I have grandkids and I can give them coffee and sugar and send them back to their mother. That's what I want to do. That's my goal in life. I bring it up all the time. The things that I did, you know, I used to try. I know a lot of people out there battle with their weight, and I know a lot of people out there say that they can't lose weight. And I don't know. I don't know if weight is the thing we should focus on. I know that everybody's worries about appearance and this and that, and I don't necessarily know that that's what you should focus on. My point is we're going to head into the new year, and then I'm going to go to the gym and not be able to get on one machine until mid-February, because it's going to be packed with all these new people, which is great. I have no complaints about that. You know, you guys come in and, you know, you go crazy. But if you're going to do it every day. You know, make this a weekly, well, not every day, but you focus on your health every day. Go to the gym, you know, 2-3 times a week, but you can't ever stop. And you know, my point is here is I'm getting older. A lot of my friends are getting older. A lot of my friends are having some health issues because you can only treat your body like an amusement park for so long before you got to pay the price. And, you know, when we're young and dumb, we do all kind of things that are stupid. I don't even want to relive some of the things I've done in my life thinking I'll survive. And I did. I don't know how, but there's things I did that there's no way I should still be alive or walking around at any rate. But when I just want to say to people out there, if you are struggling with health, if you are struggling with weight loss, understand that it is a journey. There's no short version of this. There's no, I'm going to work out for several months, get to where I want to be and never have to do it again. That's not how it is. So you need to buckle under and realize that this is part of your life. This is part of your daily grind, is that you have to do something. You have to stay on top of it. You can't look at it as taking an aspirin and everything's better. You have to look at it as, you know, this is part of my day, like going to the bathroom, okay? Everybody poops. Everybody should exercise. That's going to be my tip for the day. If I can do it, I used to weigh 300 pounds. If I can do it, anybody can do it, okay? And I know somebody's going to come back and say, well, blah. I'm just telling you, if I can do it, anybody can do it. I'm not debating it. I'm not arguing about it. I'm just saying that if you want to do it, you set your mind to it and you do it. It's as simple as that. I don't care if you lose weight. But if you want to be healthier, you can definitely be healthier. There's a lot of people I know that are rather large that they're fairly healthy individuals. They have perfect body metrics when it comes to like blood pressure and heart rate and things like that. They're just big people, but they also exercise on a regular basis. And all of us that are getting older, you can't you get to a point in life where it's not about getting healthier. It's just about not dying as quickly, okay? It's about maintaining. And I know, and the reason I'm talking about all this is because I've had some people reach out to me. And when they did, it was because they listened to the podcast, so I wanted to address it on the podcast. The other thing is that has happened to me over the last month is that we are having extra cold weather for this time of year. Usually if it snows by Thanksgiving, that's a big deal, but it's been pretty cold. And I used to be the guy that would run no matter what. As long as there wasn't ice on the ground, I would run. And it's not fun. Like at that point in time, it became a grind. Like I normally look forward to my runs, but it was just like I would get out there and I would mutter to myself for the first 2 miles. No wonder the neighbors don't talk to me because I would just swear the whole time because it's so cold and so miserable. And I have poor circulation in my fingers, so they would freeze right away when I went out. And it would just tick me off. So I decided that I needed to change things up a little bit because in the summertime, I run every day and that's a significant portion of time that I could be doing other things. So it's just like an addiction like any other. So I had to find a balance. So what I try to do is try to tone it back a little bit over this the last month or so and try – well, it hasn't been a month. It's been like 2 weeks, but that's a long time for me. And try to still meet my fitness goals, but at the same time have a little bit of a life, hence being able to – take a few hours a day or a few hours a week, whatever I want. It's actually usually like one day, but I add it for the week of being able to play a video game or something like that because I just don't have the time gets all sucked up. I mean, you figure you run. If I run, I try to run 6 days a week and then one day walk because I had to give my legs a rest and I can't not do anything. That's the problem. It's like I can't not do anything. So I've been trying to not do anything and still meet my fitness goals in other ways during the week. And I realize now that like when it is slightly cold out and I think maybe I should go for a run that I really don't want to. And I can understand now why people don't want to do it. It's something I couldn't wrap my mind around because for me, if I don't run, I will gain weight. If I don't do something, I will gain weight. And it's not, again, it's not about the weight, but I've taken a lot of weight off and I don't want to put any back on. And I also like food a lot. So I know that if I'm going to go on vacation and I'm going to eat a bunch that I need to try to lose a little bit so that when I come back, I'm not completely over the top. You know, I'm not one of those people that like, oh, I'm on a strict diet. I can't eat anything. Well, if I go on vacation, I'm there to relax. I'm going to eat what I want to eat. I'm not going to feel guilt about it. But also when I'm on vacation, I run every morning. But I realized that because of doing that, that it can very much become a grind. So, you know, some tips for anybody out there who wants to try to get healthier is the first of all, don't focus on your weight. I would weigh myself and then write it down somewhere and not weigh myself again for a month. And during that month, do not try to worry about what you're eating. Try to do 30 minutes of exercise. I don't care what it is. If you normally sit in bed all day long, for 30 minutes, lift your arms up and down. Lift one arm up and down. Do something. And the benefits are not just physical benefits. And that's one of the things that I've been noticing. You know, you get dopamine. You get your body going and it releases dopamine in your brain and you feel calm, more relaxed because you're exerting yourself. And so everything else seems like a breeze. And I noticed the days that I don't do some sort of cardio that I am definitely more stressed. And the days that I do, my day goes easier and things just kind of roll off my back. It's not that big of a deal. And like I said, not a fitness podcast. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm just a guy. I don't know everything. I just know what works for me. But I know that I do have the belief that anybody who wants to do it and wants to be, you know, more fit can do it. And if you got young kids, you need to do it for them because the reality is with the food that we eat and the food we're surrounded by and, you know, the sedentary lifestyle that a lot of us lead, that it's not good for you. You know, luckily in my job, I don't have a desk job, so I'm on my feet all day long. So I'm always doing something. And a lot of times people come in, I'm running in place. They're like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm running in place. What does it look like I'm doing? You need to get your heart going, get things going. But I'm telling you that the mental benefits are huge, huge. If nothing else, do it like that. Do it for that reason. Forget about the physical benefits and focus on the mental benefits. But just 30 minutes of activity a day. And then you slowly, you start to get results. You start to get kind of addicted. You start saying, well, what if I add this in? Or what if I mix this in? And then it becomes part of your day, you know, part of your week. I mean, I say part of your day because for me, mostly it's part of my day. But I realize that some people might not be able to do it every day. But try to make it part of your week and try not to get stressed about it. Just be like, and if you get up and if you're like, ah, I have a day off, and you know, you don't want it hanging over your head if you don't enjoy exercise. Like, I have an elliptical at home, so when I'm not running outside, which I enjoy, I'm on the elliptical, which I do not enjoy. Just try to get up in the morning and get it done. Get it out of the way. And then, boom, you're done. You've met your goals for the day, and you can do whatever you want for the rest of the day, and there you go. And your morning starts off great when you – it's the 10 minutes of staring at it, deciding whether or not to get on it that suck. But once you get on it and you're doing it, then you get off, you feel fantastic. You know what I mean? So I just want to talk a bit about that because, like I said, I have a lot of friends that are getting older, and we talk a bit about exercise and fitness and things like that. And by no means do you have to try to drop, you know, you have to have realistic goals as far as weight loss is concerned. But I think that if you just focus on trying to do activity for 30 minutes a day, then it all just comes together because that becomes your goal rather than how much weight you've lost or what you've eaten that day. Because you'll find as you start to add physical exercise in, that you start to lose a little bit of weight. You start to feel a little bit better. And then you start saying, hey, when I eat this, I feel like crap. When I eat this, I don't. That doesn't necessarily mean you're eating something bad. It just means that you start to notice like what you're eating that has an adverse effect on you. For me, I at this point in time, I kind of stay away from sugar, except when I'm on vacation, then it's game on. But I also notice that if I eat something sugary, I feel like crap afterwards. I feel terrible. So because of that, staying away from sugar is a lot easier because of the fact that I know I'm going to feel bad afterwards. So if I have a horrendous sweet tooth, that is my downfall. I just tell everybody right now, that is my downfall. If you give me a plate of hamburgers or you give me a plate of cookies, I eat cookies every time. But you start to learn that, okay, have half a cookie and then you're good. If you have a whole cookie, then you feel like crap afterwards. So just something I'm throwing out there. Like I said, I've had a couple people comment on my runs and stuff like that. And when people have said, hey, you know, there hasn't been, you know, you haven't been podcasting. I'm like, no, I spend all my time exercising now. Not that I, you know, but I'm like, if I go for a run and I run 7 miles, that's an hour for the run. And then that's 15 minutes prep time and then a half hour showering, getting ready to go to work or do whatever that day. So you figure you're in for 2 hours. So 2 hours a day, and that's how much time it takes me to podcast. So I decided I need to change things up a little bit if I wanted to have any hobbies other than there's no point in trying to live longer if life sucks. So for me, it was just trying to find a happy medium. Anyway, I'm over 30 minutes and I said I wasn't going to do that. So until next time, over and out.